Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantera Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not big.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
Good morning, everyone. Here on a Saturday, it's Tee to Green, 7 to 8 a.m., your best spot for local golf talk here in Western New York. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. I'm Brian Cozio, along with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Metis. So we're here to give you some golf talk, and we've got a good show coming up here. A couple of guests later in the show, including PGA Pro from East Aurora Country Club, David Jones. He'll be joining us in our second segment just to talk about what's going on at East Aurora, how are they handling the current pandemic, and how golf is getting going there. Also, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the International Junior Masters event as well that has been canceled for this year. Also coming up in our third segment, one of the tournament directors from the Porter Cup, Cassie Stein, will join us. Niagara Falls Country Club made an announcement this week about their annual great event on the Porter Cup. If you didn't hear that, Cassie will give you the latest. That's all coming up a little bit later on in the show. We'll have our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week this week, focusing in on what you can do with your kids, your junior players, and, of course, the rest of our normal features. We'll check the PGA Tour Leaderboard, Champions Tour Report, Ryder Cup Report, and all the great wit and insight you get from Jeff and Kevin here along the way. A lot of wisdom incited by us every week, Kevin, right? Good morning.
Why are you putting that pressure on me on a Saturday morning for the
I think he's just saying I'm old. Wisdom comes with age, that's all.
Or experience. I tend to say not all, I say experience. You know, speaking of experience, boy, we've experienced everything this early part of our golf season, haven't we? Weather-wise, condition-wise, it's been unique, and actually, I think we should all be embracing that as golfers. You know, you hear about players from Texas are able to play in the wind. You know what? Grow up playing in Western New York. You play in absolutely everything, so there isn't a condition that should surprise you in tournament play anywhere in the country.
I have one of my favorite golf stories is in a U.S. Open qualifier. I was playing with a guy from Australia, and we had a snow delay. he found that peculiar, but playing golf in Western New York, it happens.
Yeah, we had snow 2 weeks ago, and then temperatures in the 90s this week. So pretty crazy. And Kevin, obviously persevering through this weather when you're playing, drinking plenty of fluids is important. We would know if you did play this week when it was 90 something. Good for you, but.
I did.
You're drinking water.
I did. I alternated Michelob Ultra with a Gatorade, you know, to balance the things out, to enjoy a beverage, rehydrate. So, and we thank Michelob Ultra, by the way, for their great support throughout the years here on Tee to Green.
Absolutely. Yes. Speaking of that, Tee to Green presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Michelob Ultra, like Kevin just mentioned, Custom Turf, Jim Beam, and our home clubs, Tantera, Briarwood, Lancaster, where we've been playing lately, and the courses have been in phenomenal shape at our home clubs and across Western New York. But speaking of Custom Turf, Jeff, it's also been a good week. My son and I have been out in the backyard, especially it's like a routine now. I've been grilling quite a bit. So while we're waiting for the grill to heat up or in between me flipping whatever I'm cooking, we have putting contests out on my putting green from Custom Turf, and it's prime season right now in the backyard as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. I got one of the coolest jobs in the world now. I go around selling people dream, you know, backyard greens, simulators, indoor putting areas, gyms, pet turf, you know, stuff people really that really add to their enjoyment of the game. So yeah, I'm excited to do that. We got Custom Turf's a great local company that's been doing it for 25 years. You'll see our work everywhere. So if you you'll hear more about us as we go along, because we're going to be doing some pretty cool stuff. But yeah, it's nice, right? You get to get out this week. You got to hit some your son. Your son's going to be a really good player just because he can sit in that backyard whenever he wants to putt and get creative and hit wedges and chips and bumps and all that stuff. That's it's been a good week for that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get to our PGA Tour leaderboard check here, as it is brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different. I've been playing with those. They're excellent. Kevin, I know you love the three lines on it, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. It is, Kevin, it is easier, before we get to the PGA Tour leaderboard, it is easier to line up where you want your putt with those three lines. I love how Mickelson, did you see what Mickelson says he does with it too? He said he'll turn the lines different ways depending upon how long or short his putt is.
Yeah, the triple track technology on the golf ball. I alternate between the triple track, which I do like for putts, and even tee shots, where my aim point on the tee shots. I'll even finagle it on the tee a little bit. But I also like the and I forget what the name. Shame on me. Sorry, Callaway. But, you know, the soccer ball, right?
Oh,
the
different
logos on it. Mm-hmm. The Folds of Honor one. I love how those look spinning on chips and putts. I just – the visual of it is so awesome. So I wish we could change balls on the hole, right? So if I could play the soccer ball look from the Chrome Soft up to the green, and then on the green get the triple track on there for putting, that would be ideal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I learned that from the kids. I didn't like how it looked at first. And then you watch – the kids were the first to adopt it. And you start watching it, you're right, Kevin. It looks pretty cool in the air.
They do logo ones. So I got to work with Taylor, our Callaway rep, and get us some TD Green logo balls so they can make that pattern with your golf. I know some golf clubs in the area have done it, so they can do logos on it. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. I would be in to play those. All right, let's talk about the match, the second version, Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Brady. And it was the most cable watch golf event in TV history. A higher rating than last year's PGA Championship and last year's Open Championship, which got good ratings, by the way, comparably, because Tiger was involved in them. But Tiger and Phil are great TV, and when you throw in the two biggest quarterbacks in terms of a rivalry maybe in NFL history, it made for outstanding television. You throw in Charles Barkley, Justin Thomas, and on a fun course in Florida, Kevin, and it made for a great event.
Well, and what also made it great was that they played in terrible weather. I think that added to the charm of the event. It wasn't perfect by any means. And, I mean, come on, let's face it. Those individuals, any other time in those conditions, are like, screw it, we're not playing. But they played, and they got it done. And kudos to the production crew for making that happen. For the guys going through it, I thought the camera on the carts was awesome. Yep. They each had their individual carts. I thought that was really cool. Phil and Peyton, really, they're Peyton Manning, is he not unbelievable? As a, he might be better than Barkley. He's got great stories. What he says is relevant all the time. And you know, Tiger didn't say a whole lot, but man, when he had something to say, boom, he knew exactly the pressure points to hit on Phil. Like, you know, when Phil's talking about activating the calves, and Tiger's, I got to hear this every time we play. Or, hey, do you want me to mark that with my U.S. Open medals? I mean, what a great line.
Yeah.
You know, I found it to be far, far more. I went in with low expectations and found it to be far, far more entertaining than I ever thought. It was just fun to watch. That's the only thing I can say. It was super fun to watch. And I think going forward, you're going to take a lot of what they did there, and you're going to put it into golf. Maybe now that we're talking about no fans in the stands at a golf event, maybe all the players are mic'd up. So maybe you get a little bit more of that. Maybe it's the next step in making the game a little more fun to watch. I think they're learning how to adapt to it, but all I know is at the end of the day, that was great TV. That was, I just enjoyed watching it. It was great.
You know, when it comes to the mic'd up thing, Brian, because a lot of people are talking, I wanted to jump in because Jeff mentioned that, because a lot of people were like, yeah, mic all the players up there. And well, first of all, you can't do it. Technically speaking, you can't do it. You've got 144 players each week in the field on the PGA Tour. You know, sure, you can recycle the mics at times, but to have audio engineers monitor all of that traffic and then to have all that RF traffic out there, too much. It just.
Well, they about the last couple groups?
The players,
know, the last couple the, groups of the day.
The players in a tournament setting, Kevin, I would imagine too, don't want to wear battery packs on their back.
Correct.
Either.
Right.
Now,
that's
can
why
you have
the shotgun mics. That's why you have the audio people following the shotgun mics. You're right there with them to get the conversation at the time. And I know what people want. They want the other conversation walking. They don't listen. I'm out there walking with them.
They're not talking that much.
They're not talking as much as you think they're talking. They're not talking to each other for the most part.
Yeah, this was a made-for-TV foursome. The whole idea was to catch the banter. I see your point. But understanding that, though, I think it's a good point, but I think there's still going to be – you're going to learn a lot from that as how to go forward covering television golf now.
Yeah, just as much as the banter back and forth, trash talk, whatever, was great. Just as good, if not even better for me, was hearing Mickelson talk through how he's approaching this chip of, hey, you can see how it's shiny here and hear how it's dark here. Normally you throw it into the dark spot, it's going to check it up, but because it's wet, it's going to skid. He goes, so I'm going to throw it into the dark and then hopefully it'll skid and then it'll roll out. And then he does it in perfect execution. He hits it into the dark spot. It does skid and then it rolls to, you know, less than a foot. That part to me was tremendous. How he was reading the putts for Brady, explaining the contours of the greens. Hey, if you hit it up here, it's going to give you this much speed. If you hit it over here, like, I thought that was excellent. I think there can be some of that. When we heard Jordan Spieth and his caddy get mic'd up so much over the course of when Spieth was in his, you know, playing his best a few years ago, that was great to hear those two talk back and forth. They can be creative. If it means sticking a microphone on the edge of a caddy's bag for maybe some of the leader groups coming in, Jeff, like you mentioned, I think the PGA Tour should look into that. I don't think the players are going to want things on them. But, hey, if you can throw an extra mic onto the bag.
It doesn't have to be live. It doesn't have to be live.
Well, it won't be for the most part. Right. A couple things. Let me bring it to hockey for a second. So when I worked for the Sabres television, and there'd be times where, all right, hey, we're going to mic up a player and we'll show it during another intermission or maybe the next game. Hey, we mic'd up. I'll use Paul Gostad. Sorry, Paul, I'm going to throw you under the bus. But I'm not really throwing him under the bus, but you know how many comments we could use? Only a few. You know why? Because they're in competition. They're not talking while they're skating. When they're sitting on the bench, they're talking about stuff, and there's sometimes language that goes on. Yeah, like football, how many times do you think guys mic'd up and all you hear is, woo! You know, like you don't hear anything because so much of it is audience wouldn't understand or you can't air it. Golf would be different, obviously, because it's not that intense at times, but there might be. But the one thing I did like – so, Brian, you mentioned it. Mickelson explaining chips. And I was talking about this with a couple colleagues from PGA Tour Radio. We're talking about, okay, what sort of things would we like to see implemented? Would we want to interview players during rounds? The only way I would want to do it was to talk about if they hit a great shot and what they saw and how they did it, not just general stuff. It'd have to be specific for me, like, hey, you know what? I was looking at that putt. That looked left to right. Is that something you picked up in a practice round that it broke the other way than it looked? Like, to me, that's interesting stuff right there. But there are also players that I would not go near during a round. There are guys that I'll say something to during a round off mic, and there are other guys I wouldn't even dare look at during a round and just know who they are. So it's up to the person. That was an exhibition, as you said, Jeff. It's a different atmosphere than competing for purses and legacy on the PGA Tour.
Well, they did a good job of it. That's all. They did a great job putting that show on.
Absolutely. Quick shout out to, I thought Justin Thomas was excellent. He's becoming one of my favorite golfers on the PGA Tour. And now he's got an announcing gig lined up as soon as he's done playing. I thought.
Hey, thanks, Justin.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, Kevin. That's right.
You got a few years. He's a young man.
That's right.
He's, as you can tell, he's a really good kid.
No doubt. Brought
PGA
up well.
PGA pro son. That's why. Right. Yeah. His dad's a PGA pro.
That's right. Good parenting there. All right, let's get.
I got to tell you something. His mom is not only nice, but she's pretty intense watching him play golf. Like, she walks all the holes out there. Approachable, but yes. It's fun to see her out there following her son.
That's right. So next week, we'll actually be talking about a real PGA Tour event, not an exhibition, not a made-for-TV thing. The Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial starts next Thursday. So we have real
full tournament. Weeks, doesn't it?
Starts what? July
11th.
June. Oh, 11th. 2 weeks. You're right. Two weeks. My apologies.
We'll be previewing it.
That's right. Our Champions Tour report now, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, of course, that we wear right here on Tee to Green. We're going to John Daly. He's a Champions Tour player. And it's his son, though, is where we're going with this story. John Daly, and they call his son Little John, who, by the way, is a big kid for 16, played a junior event this week at Crooked Stick Golf Club. Why is that relatable? Well, that's best known for Daly's breakthrough. He had his major PGA Championship victory there at the 1991 PGA Championship. But Little John almost won there as well. He was the leader. It was a three-day event. He was the leader after the first day. Ended up finishing in a tie for second after he shot a final round 76. But how cool is that? We got Little John, as they call him, John Daly's son here, competing now as a 16-year-old. And obviously is a great player. He's got a chance to win junior tournaments.
I would love to see his swing, because as a PGA professional, you kids adapt their parents' swings all the time. So you can, oh, that's so-and-so's kid. You can tell by a mannerism or something in there. I'd love to see what John Daly's son's swing looks like. And if he tries to achieve the same level of fitness that Mr. Daly has strived for his whole career.
I saw his son play. And Brian, I think you're with me. Several years ago, we did a show at Thundering Waters.
That's right.
John was there, and his kid was coming up. What hole was it? It was near where we were set up, right near the clubhouse, and he just kept looping around playing a lot. So, yeah, and that was, when he's probably 6-7 years ago, when he's 9-10 years old. So into the game for sure.
Yeah. Let's finish this segment off with our Ryder Cup report. And our Ryder Cup report brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Team USA. More comments this week from world number one Rory McIlroy. More asked about playing in the Ryder Cup, and he says, quote, this is to the BBC, he says, quote, my personal hunch, I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't think it will happen. The majority of the players would like to see it pushed back until 2021 so they can play in front of crowds and have the atmosphere that makes the Ryder Cup so special. The players are the ones that make the Ryder Cup. If they're not on board with it, then I don't think there should be a Ryder Cup, end quote. That's from McIlroy, who's got a lot of influence, number one in the world. Jeff, what do you think?
You know, I've been on both sides of this argument. I understand, you know, it's the PGA's biggest event. People want to feel, you know, maybe they should sacrifice. And I can see the player's point. I mean, that I've said that before. Maybe as you can tell, I don't know what to think, because I see both sides of this story, and, you know, he is very influential, so it'll be interesting to see if more players speak up.
I get it with the atmosphere, but it's still a competition for that. You've got to move a lot of things, not only the Ryder Cup, but maybe the President's Cup. Shift everything back.
Don't forget, Olympics is next year too.
Olympics is next year. They can choose not to play. I'm just saying, I'd like to see it go on. I'd like to see it happen. And maybe their tune will change as they get closer.
Absolutely.
My last thought on that is, that's to the players, the Ryder Cup is standing on that first tee and hearing your country being chanted. So, you know, to them, that's what it means, I think, and that's why he said what he said.
Yeah, and these are players that essentially don't get paid for this event. So they do get the enjoyment. That's one of the things they do like about it.
Here's the interesting thing. Team Europe is saying this, and they're playing in the United States. Like they're playing.
Oh, you're right. That's why they're doing it.
Well, no, I'm saying, like,
you're right.
Want to play without fans.
It's a big home field advantage for the U.S. to have the crowd. Right. You're right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right. And they're traveling here. Yep.
So, you know, that's interesting that they're advocating not playing when they're on the road.
That's right. Good point. Kevin, that is the wisdom and the insight I told you we'd have at the beginning of the show, and you brought it. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent. All right. Speaking of good insight, we've got a guy that has a lot coming up next. David Jones, the PGA Pro from East Aurora Country Club, going to join us next as we roll on here on Tee to Green, along with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. Derek Kramer producing. I'm Brian Coltsfield. Thanks for being with us. More Tee to Green coming up right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Welcome back here to Tee to Green. Brian Colesiel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. Thanks for hanging out with us here on your Saturday morning on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're now pleased to be joined by the PGA Pro from one of our favorite places to visit, East Aurora Country Club. David Jones is with us. David, good morning. We're sorry that we're not able to come out for our normal visits this year. Hopefully maybe in the summer later on if everything goes well. But we're glad to have you on here this morning as we record this remotely. And thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning, guys. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Always a treat to spend the morning with you.
Kevin, I know East Aurora is always one of our favorite places to go and one of your favorite places to play.
Yeah, it is. It's such a fun place to play golf at East Aurora. I mean, I can't think of a hole that doesn't catch your eye, you know, at the golf course. I mean, it's just beautiful. And you really, after you played a few times, you recognize where you need to be on the golf course, don't you, David? Off the tee or certain spots, playing the angles at East Aurora.
Agreed, and probably even more important, certain spots where you don't want to be. We have that constant conversation throughout our golf course, and although the yardage is not overpowering, there's very few holes that you can get one back. Very easy to give one up, but really tough to get one back. So thoughtful shot position is paramount here.
And Dave, don't you think that's what good players do? They miss it in the right spots, right?
I do.
Yeah. And that's probably why you guys have such strong graduate. I mean, had some great players come through East Aurora Country Club. I remember playing against EJ Pfister and, you know, NCAA champion and, you know, playing a course like that, you do learn where not to miss it. And I think that's part of the fun of a place like that.
And that's a great point, Jeff. And our junior, we have graduated a ton of strong junior players, not even just skipping the IJM, just our junior program in general. When they travel and they get to a golf course that maybe is a little bit more wide open or the greens are less demanding, it just frees the mind up a bit. And they always tend to score away quite well.
David, I don't know if you saw it. It was at the end, tail end of last year. I made this fictitious golf course, a country club in Buffalo. Funny enough, when I wrote the column for our website, I actually got solicited by seed companies about this golf course that I was building. But what I did was I took what I deemed the best holes from our area private clubs, and it had to coincide with the actual hole that it was. So the first hole I chose had to be a first hole. Second hole had to be the second hole somewhere. Well, my starting hole is the starting hole at East Aurora Country Club. I think it is a brilliant starting hole. It demands a great tee shot and an approach shot that is right on the number.
So you're not the only one on that one. That was actually my first observation five years ago when I moved out here. And when we introduced our course master plan as far as what can we do to make our turf healthier, we hired an architect, Ian Andrew, out of Canada, and he came down and looked through the golf course with our golf course superintendent, Drew Thompson, and he stood on the first tee, and that was his first comment, is this might be the best opening hole in Western New York. So that definitely has some credibility through a rather famous and influential architect.
You know, and I think, Dave, one of the true tests of a golf is how of a golf facility is how well your club's doing. You were saying off air that, despite everything going on, your club's been doing pretty well.
You know, Jeff, we are. We've had an uptick in members over the past 5 years, 30% increase over the last since 2016. So we have some interesting programs. We try to make sure that when we bring folks in, that it's not on a one-year term. We all understand that when you get to a golf club, it takes a year or two to get your feet under you and get comfortable. So our philosophy is if you can come here and commit to us for a couple of years, you're not going to want to go anywhere. The pandemic, albeit has been very tiresome and problematic, the ability to be outside certainly has drawn a target to golf. And I feel bad for every industry out there, and I feel bad for our industry to a certain capacity, but boy, the mental wellness that we were able to offer first out of the gates, I think that is such a tremendous value and thing to offer during these times that we've not seen before.
It has definitely been a challenge as we speak here with David Jones, the PGA Pro from East Aurora Country Club here on Tee to Green. It's been a challenge. We've been obviously speaking with many people in the golf industry across Western New York, and each place has kind of handled it similarly and differently. What have you learned and what have you, I guess, has there been some positive things that maybe going forward that East Aurora may be implementing, you know, permanently, some things like this? And maybe even just what have you learned about the staff all working together under these conditions and situations?
So that's a great question, Brian. So we were on the forefront of this Golf Genius program. We purchased the premier package last year, which virtually puts everything online from a scoring standpoint to tournament management. So you can keep your scorecard digitally. You don't have a paper card. We offered that to all our events last year to see how it would go, as well as our membership. The IJM was really the impetus to the introduction of this program. So parents maybe in Colombia or Venezuela could watch their children live scoring. So us as a club, or we as a club, having that year under our belt this year, was really quite seamless. So now all of our events, our leagues, when we get rolling with that, will be touch-free, which I think is going to be a nice thing moving forward. You know, members sometimes don't like change. So now being forced into that bucket of technology, I think moving forward, we're going to find that that's going to make things a lot more easy for the staff to implement. Again, on the golf course, our whole goal is to become as safe as possible. So again, our superintendent is forward thinking and we've put as a few area clubs have, the easy lift cups. So you don't have to touch or have any potential touch of even the pool noodles that were in there. So now you just put your putter on the hook, lift it up, ball pops out. Just 2 days ago, we implemented retrofitted our water fountains for touchless water. So you can just put your cup under. So these things will certainly stay for a little while, touchless water for the foreseeable future. And we'd certainly like to get rid of the easy lifts as soon as possible, because that means we're back to normal. So yeah, we're seeing some technological things. We're seeing some just convenient things. And at the end of the day, you know, through tragedies, sometimes we find some great innovation.
Maybe this is innovation, maybe not, but on a social aspect, when do you anticipate getting back to Jeff Kamian open mic nights? I've been, Jeff, if you're listening, I've enjoyed the Facebook music that he's been providing along with his lovely wife.
So we are certainly looking forward to that. And that's a nice segue into, you know, one of the main negatives of this is that it was our first year since 1953 that we had to push the International Junior Masters away. And Jeff, as a tournament director, is an integral part of every facet of that event. So it's nice to see him finding ways to ease some of the stress with his wife, Mary, on Facebook, singing songs to us. But it certainly doesn't negate the certain negative impact of not having that event here. It is the highlight for certainly me, and I'm sure most of our members here, to see the young kids come through and be at East Aurora for a week.
Yeah, when we've come every year to promote the event, and we get to talk to Jeff and Paul O'Brien and some of the other tournament directors and see how Drew Thompson has the course set up, and I know it's such a sense of pride and being there. Now, you guys have added even a PGA Junior League sort of tie-in as well. I know, you know, from being there to watch that, to make that event more and more of a way that it can really be like a community thing in Western New York. I mean, there's so many things across Western New York that kind of mark what is so great about being here in the summer. And unfortunately, the dominoes are falling on a lot of them. And the IGM, for everybody that loves golf, is definitely one of those great things. But David, the logistics behind it, you have people traveling from all over the world, kids maybe even coming, you know, without a family. Like it's just obviously something that was the right decision to make.
It certainly was. There was conversations, there were conversations that were taking place very early during this, actually right around when the NBA decided to cancel their league. I believe that was around March 11th. So we had to make these decisions because it is a global event, and we do have kids as far as Australia that come in, and they don't have their parents with them, a lot of them. And we had to take into account how comfortable would the parents be? What would the field look like? Should we lessen the field and make it more local? And at the end of the day, we just really thought that would change the flavor of the International Junior Masters. And we thought the more responsible thing to do. And looking now, it was absolutely the correct decision, was just to look past 2020 and get ready for 2021, which I'm very happy to say that we've already had meetings geared around 2021. So we're going to be ready to rock and roll and better than ever.
You know, along those comments, with events like the IJM, I think it's made all of us in golf more appreciative of past events and so much looking forward to the future events here. Like, we can't wait now, and I think it's just going to be a greater celebration next year when with the return of that and other events like the Porter Cup and many of the local club events. I think people are going to have a greater appreciation for the work that goes into it, what's been done, and what's going to be done.
I couldn't agree more, Kevin. I think that, you know, we see that every single day, that once something is taken away from you, how much we maybe take it for granted, and certainly how much we're going to appreciate it moving forward. Simple tasks as going to the grocery store without all the restrictions in place, you realize that how good things can be and should be and will be. And golf is no different animal for sure, especially with the events that we hold so dear.
David Jones with us here, our guest on Tee to Green, the PGA Pro from East Aurora Country Club. David, we're going to get to our tip of the week here in just a moment. But before we do that, I know in our first segment, the three of us talked a little bit about the match this past week with Tiger and Phil and Brady and Peyton. For what you were able to see from it or hear about it, it was the most watched event in cable golf history. So obviously there were many eyes tuned in, and the banter between the players was pretty comical. I know a lot of Bills fans enjoyed Tom Brady's early struggles out on the golf course as well. But events like that, and they end up raising over $20 million for COVID charities, which obviously at the end of the day is the most important thing.
So full disclosure, I'm through 9 holes watching it with my son, Cole. The positive thing behind that is that Sunday, you know, rounds the weekend especially, but Sunday in particular, rounds have been extremely high with the demand. So my time has been focused on trying to make sure that our membership is taken care of. But it is certainly recorded. We are through 9 holes, and I will tell you that it is amazingly entertaining to look across the living room and see my 12-year-old, who is very much into the game, laugh out loud at the television and see these athletes in uncomfortable zones, but still maintain a level of humor and respect is certainly a good showcase for the game of golf, that they can go out there and embarrass themselves, still have fun with it. It's also another great indication to show how challenging our sport is. So when people say, you know, it's just, you know, maybe hitting a white ball around the field, you see some of the most finely tuned athletes in the world that share our same struggles on a daily basis.
No doubt. All right, let's get to our Western New York PGA tip of the week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. You mentioned your 12-year-old son. We're going to talk juniors here. Of course, the International Junior Masters is a big part of East Aurora Country Club, but there's a lot of youngsters that are getting to play, as you mentioned, maybe a little different school setup and schedule that's going on. An opportunity for moms and dads to take out their son or daughter to play. Just let's start off here with maybe just some advice here with maybe normal junior lessons and programs at the moment not being in their normal setup, David. What are some of the things that you can do to get the most out of the next month or two with your son or daughter playing golf?
So I think the largest part, Brian, is yes, we've lost the International Junior Masters. We've lost some of the local junior tour events. Maybe our PGA Junior League is suspended, and we're still actively trying to figure out how we can get that in. But what we can't lose sight of is that we still have a golf course, and we still have a place to play golf, and we still have a professional staff. You know, we look back when we get older and we say, God, I wish I would have spent some more time with my son or daughter doing various activities. I was too busy. Right now is the prime time to grab your son or daughter and make a family experience and bring them out to the golf course. And there's no technology. There's no cell phones. You have the wind, the grass, the sounds of the bird. It's just a beautiful opportunity to capture that experience with your children. And as a matter of fact, to echo that sentiment, with our school educational programs in such flux from what normal is, I have seen a tremendous uptick of youth play on that first tee this year. I would venture to say that our youth here have played more golf than our adults. And that is so good to see. We always hear about how hard it is for the adults right now. It's really hard for the kids. And if they have an outlet, the normal outlet that they can go take advantage of, we need to promote that. And we need to call your golf professionals, find out what their policies are on instruction. I know we're all different, so I don't want to speak for any other club, but call your golf professional, find out what their programs are, what they're trying to at least implement on an altered schedule. And I'm sure you're going to be happy with the answers. Unfortunately, if they're in a position where they can't do a whole lot, don't forget the property's there and it's not going to go anywhere.
You know, and to add to that is golf's a game of fun. And once you get them out there, have fun. And parents tend to get a little negative with their instruction or over-instruct their kids. So, you know, the first thing I say is, you know, what some of the bad advice people give their kids, keep your head down, keep your eye on the ball, swing easy, keep your left arm straight, don't go past parallel. You know, there's a lot of negatives. You know, I try to focus on a positive or get them to mimic something. So, you know, really good golf swings, and you'll see it all around. And with the juniors, you want to teach them to swing around their body and finish on their forward leg chasing the target. You know, and then let them go play. Don't enable them. Don't critique every shot. You know, don't give them eight things to think about. Just let them go out and have some fun, swing freely. Have them try to hit it as far as they can. You know, we'll do stuff like that. Hey, we're only going to play this hole with a 6-iron. See if you can beat dad with just a 6-iron here. First games like that, something to make it fun instead of, you know, let's get to the range, let's work on your swing. You know, you got to get here. Golf's fun. There's a million ways to play well. And if you're going to go out with your kids, I think Dave said it beautifully. It's a great time to take advantage of that. And don't ruin it by over-instructing or making it a grind for your kids when you're out there.
So when I told my 15-year-old, just hit it hard, it's going to land somewhere, and then we'll go hit it again. Was that okay?
Love it. Love it. That's the best. Hit it and go find it and hit it again. Yeah, that's the fun of the game. How much fun is it when you're a kid, when you're in the trees and you got some funky shot and you're trying to chip it over a creek and hit it off a rock and roll it up? Yeah, those are the shots you remember, and that's what makes golf fun.
Good advice for all there. David, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you giving us some time here. We know that the course has been busy, especially out at East Aurora where you're at, so get back to those members.
Brian, Jeff, Kevin, thank you very much for having me again. It's always a pleasure, and enjoy the rest of your golfing season.
Thanks, you as well. David Jones here from East Aurora. When we come back, we will talk about another local event, the Porter Cup, making an announcement this week. One of their tournament directors Cassie Stein will join us here as we roll on with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Midas. I'm Brian Colziel. Tee to Green, right back after this on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned, more Tee to Green coming up.
We're back on Tee to Green. Kevin Sylvester, Brian Colziel, PGA Pro Jeff Midas. I want to thank our friends at Scroy Financial for their support of the Tee to Green show. Scroy Financial, a locally family-owned financial planning firm, helping Western New Yorkers reach their financial goals since 1971. Complimentary consultations. Give them a call, 674-6700. Go to their website, scroyfinancial.com. That's S-G-R-O-I financial.com. Also want to thank the Jumpa Agency, our Allstate agent, Frank Jumpa.
Back here on Tee to Green, and we want to thank David Jones, the PGA Pro from East Aurora Country Club, joining us last segment for our tip of the week. And, of course, we talked a little bit about the International Junior Masters event, how that is not going on this year. Another stalwart in the local golf scene is the Porter Cup, the great amateur event every year at Niagara Falls Country Club. And joining us now, one of the tournament directors, Cassie Stein, who has been on our air many years now, talking about this tournament. Cassie, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Unfortunately, Cassie, we would love to be talking to you in person and getting ready for the tournament. Unfortunately, we're on to shed some news that the tournament won't be happening this year.
Yeah, it's definitely a bummer. A lot of people up at Niagara Falls Country Club are, upset with the decision, but I think it was the right one to make. And there's a lot of logistics that go into it that we just felt that would be very difficult to pull off in these really uncertain times. So, no Porter Cup this year. A lot of people are sad up here, and all of Western New York, really. People were looking forward to something, and we thought, this could be it, but it just wasn't in the cards this year.
My guess is you held out to the last possible minute before canceling, right?
We really did. We talked in March. We spoke in April. A couple of us got together at the end of April, and then we all came together in the middle of May, and that's ultimately the time we had to make a decision. I mean, there's a lot of travel plans that go into it with these players. There's a lot of international players. I mean, how many Canadians have we had in our field for the last many years? It just didn't seem right to not be able to have some of the best players from all over the world come to Western New York for a golf tournament at these uncertain times.
Yeah, that's when we were talking with David Jones last segment, he said the same thing about, maybe we could find local players to fill it, but he said it's an International Junior Masters event. He goes, we want it to be global, and I know you guys are the same. And even beyond just people from all over the world, even just the normal ease of the Canadian border, you don't know what it is. Cassie, I know this is not just golf. People might just say, oh, well, why can't they just come and play golf? Well, there's so much involved, including the membership, which houses so many of these players, Cassie, and that obviously, I'm sure, was a big logistic that you had to take into consideration.
It was a huge logistics. I mean, I just don't know many people who are willing to let anyone in their house, let alone an 18 to 22-year-old kid who, could be asymptomatic, and you just don't know in these uncertain times, and that was really tough. And another thing is transportation. We take these kids back and forth to the airport. School bus drivers are laid off right now. It wouldn't be fair just to bring them back for a week, just giving them hope and an opportunity, for a job and to keep going. There's no social events at the club, so there would be no, interacting with these players, getting to actually know them, having dinner with them, speaking to them, and there was just so much. The volunteers, I mean, I could keep going on and on. There were so many things. We would need someone. I mean, as of right now, you can't lift the flag stick out. You need someone to rake the bunkers. There would be so many volunteers. And like I said, I could keep going like live scoring. It's just, there's so many logistics that went into it. And once we talked about it as an executive committee and as a group, it just didn't work out this year, unfortunately.
And Cassie, you get, you probably were just getting started about what kind of players you were going to land this year, right? Also. So the other thing that's cool about this event is you get to watch some of the best players in the world, like the Dustin Johnson's coming through, and these families get to enjoy the time with these kids, and there's a bond there. So tell me a little bit about that too.
Yeah. So we were doing a lot of heavy, I mean, you know, you guys know and the public knows that the last couple of years, we've really done a really good job with recruiting these top players from all over the world, the top college players, top amateurs. And we were really ramping up. I mean, we were talking to coaches, we were talking to players, talking to parents, contact us. And we were really on the right track for a good field. I mean, every one of those players is golf hungry right now. They haven't played competition golf in who knows how long at this point. So they were really looking forward to a tournament. And that could have been the Porter Cup. It just wasn't in the cards. But yeah, the bond between the players and the host families is just, I mean, people still keep in touch with Adam Scott. You know, they went down to the President's Cup last year, and they hung out with him, and they got to experience that. I still keep in touch with Max Homa, who is a big, you know, he's a big social media star, but he's also on the PGA Tour. And that's what's really cool about this tournament is that you get to keep these bonds for a lifetime. And it's just unfortunate it won't happen this year. Hopefully 2021, I mean, we're all looking forward to that now, aren't we? So it'll be a bigger and better tournament, and we can't wait for that.
I know one thing. I don't want Max Homa ever to look at my golf swing.
He doesn't hold back.
No, you don't, Kevin.
He is pretty funny.
That's right. Cassie, before we let you go, as of this moment, the Senior Porter Cup is still on, correct?
As of now, yes. We really hope to do that this year, especially with the passing of Mr. Fred Silver last October. He was so meaningful to Niagara Falls Country Club and the Porter Cup in general. He had such a huge influence on it. And I mean, he was such a great man. So we're really hoping to honor him this year with a full tournament and just all the best senior players from really all over the, you know, North America. So yes, the Senior Porter Cup is still on.
Excellent. That's scheduled for early September from the 2nd through the 4th. Cassie, how's just everybody doing up at Niagara Falls Country Club? We've been talking to various people at different courses, just dealing with the situation. And I know you love to play too. So how's the course been treating you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's just excited to be outside. I think everyone is just excited to be outside. And with this weather we've had recently, it doesn't matter if it's 95 degrees as we broke records on Tuesday or whatever, but just being outside and just being, you know, doing something you love outside right now, I think is just so important, and be able to move and everything. But yeah, people up at Niagara Falls are definitely getting their golf in. So it's been good.
Excellent. Well, say hello and well wishes to everybody up there from all of us. Hopefully maybe everything goes well, we can do a live show at some point before the summer is over. So, Cassie, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That'll put a wrap on this week's Tee to Green. I want to thank Derek Kramer for producing. And for PGA Pro Jeff Bitas, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel. Join us every Saturday right here. Your best talk for local golf talk right here. Tee to Green on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.